Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
This talk is on freedom, and I'm praying that wherever you need freedom in your life, this will help. All day today, you're going to be hearing about freedom. That's the theme of the conference. So open yourself up to that one or maybe two areas where you feel stuck, or maybe in slavery. We weren't made for prison. We were made to be free. So I want you to think about what that might be, and I pray that my talk will minister to you. Just to let you know, since I'm talking about freedom, I have a free gift for everybody that wants it. Actually, one per couple. Have you ever heard of the word among us? The word among us?
Yes.
Okay, good. It's kind of like Magnificat. Some of you get that. This is called the word among us. And I always bring them with me because when I read the scriptures when I was a teenager, I had a conversion. So what I try to do is I try to get people to read the Word of God. I know most of you already do, but I want you to know that I brought about 500 of these. It has the scripture readings for July and August, so you can get this and commentaries on the scripture readings, today's Mass reading, all kinds of different things, right in the bookstore right over there, right next door. So if you go over there, I'll be happy to give one per couple. I got plenty. It's called The Word Among Us, so please get one. If you don't, I'll just leave the boxes over there and you can pick them up later. And it's my hope also that you'll take a look at some of my books while you're there. This is a book called Rise. I wrote it last year, and I'm going to talk some about resurrection. And to be set free really is to rise. It's to rise from anger, from depression. It's to rise from bitterness, addictions, emotions, negativity, you name it. So I hope I'm giving you some ideas about what to think about where you might feel stuck. Obviously, you're some of the best people on the planet, in New Mexico for sure. But we all get stuck, and we all become slaves to different things. So we have to take a look. The first step in getting free is to admitting the stuff that's enslaving us. So anyway, this book will help you rise, and I got a bunch of other books over there too. Now, just a couple quick things before I get into my reflection. I wanted to explain this TV thing. You know, I'm not a big TV star or anything. I just had this vision years ago. And remember, young people will dream dreams. Excuse me, young people will see visions. Old people will dream dreams because we're mostly sleeping all the time. So I had this vision about a church with no walls. You know what I'm talking about? We can't expect people to come to us. We got to go to them. That's what the new evangelization is all about, right? So I thought, how do I do this? I got no money. I don't have a producer. I don't have any programs. I don't have anywhere to air them. But it's amazing when you just do what you can do, how God works with you to do what you can't do. Amen. I think it was St. Francis of Assisi said, do the possible and God will do the impossible. Amen. So anyway, lo and behold, make a long story short, Jan Crouch, the owner of Trinity Broadcasting Network, saw some of my programs. She's that woman with the kind of strange hair. Anyway, she invited me to start airing on Trinity Broadcasting, which is a national and international TV network. And it took me, it took me 8 years to get to that point. By the way, EWTN is now looking at my programs as we speak. Because it looks like they're going to start airing some of my series, and we're in deliberations about that right now. I'm talking to the head programming manager there. But this took years and years. So just to let you know, when you buy a book or make a donation to my ministry, that's what it goes toward. I'm a priest with a vow of poverty, so none of those royalties go to me. I mean, it really does go back to production and the airing of Live with Passion. Here in Mountain Time Zone at Eros, sorry about this, 6 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, but you can DVR it. It's called Live with Passion, and it's on Trinity Broadcasting Network at 6 a.m. It's also on many other stations, some Catholic stations, church channels. So let me get to the next thing real quick. I am a religious priest, as I think you can see here, you know, we have many sisters with us and religious, but I'm not a diocesan priest. I'm what's called a passionist. And you can see my habit here. I know it's kind of dark in here, but you can see the habit. And we were founded in the 1700s in Italy by a saint, St. Paul of the Cross. You've probably heard of St. John of the Cross, two different saints. St. Paul of the Cross lived in the 1700s, and he was dedicated to preaching. He was dedicated to evangelization. That's why here in the United States, we have retreat centers all around the United States. We don't have one in New Mexico, but we're in Houston, we're in Los Angeles, Sacramento, Detroit, all up and down the East Coast. We're in 60 countries of the world. So we're international, you know, we're all over the place, and that's what we do. We preach the gospel. A little bit about the habit. Paul had a vision when he was, I think, 19 years old. The Virgin Mary appeared to him in this habit and said, great should be the morning for my son who suffered for you. So on my heart, you'll see a heart. I have professed a vow. My first vow is to the Passion. This says the Passion of Jesus Christ in three languages, the languages of the cross. Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. So the Passion of Jesus Christ. My first vow is to proclaim the Passion, the love of God, and then, of course, poverty, chastity, and obedience. So that's just a little bit about me really quickly. I'm a passionist. I've been a passionist for 29 years, priest for 23 years. Nothing like bishop yesterday with all those years behind it. But anyway, we're getting there little by little. And so I wanted to tell you, before I get into my reflection, just one quick little humorous story about one of our sisters. You know, we have priests, sisters, and brothers, and we all wear the same habit. Well, one of our sisters one time was working hospice, you know, with the sick and the dying, and she was driving to the hospital, and as she was driving there, her car ran out of gas, and she was dressed in her habit because, you know, she was already working. Well, a car runs out of gas, and she just remembered that she had passed the gas station just a little while back. So she goes back there, she says, "Sir, do you have any gas?" He goes, "Sister, we got lots of gas, and I'll give it to you for free since you're a nun. However, we don't have any containers. I don't know what we're going to do." She remembered that she went back to her trunk. She popped the trunk. She had a bedpan in her trunk. So she brings the bedpan back. They fill it with gas, and she very carefully goes over to the car and starts pouring the contents of the bedpan into the car, into the gas tank. And two innocent bystanders, two men, just happened to be standing there. They didn't know what was going on, but they see this nun in full habit pouring the contents of a bedpan into the gas tank. And one says to the other, "If that car starts, I'm becoming Catholic." So here we go. You're in a good mood. I'll try not to go too long here. I actually wrote this talk recently when I found out what the theme of the conference was going to be. I said, okay, I've got to do something on freedom. You know, I've done a lot of different things and different topics, but nothing on freedom yet. And I just recorded some new TV programs, so I did this on one of the TV programs already. But this has changed. You know, it develops over time, and I've been working on it right till now. But let me share with you the scripture. Let's all rise. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A proclamation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And this is our theme of the weekend. As you know, the sun sets you free. And this is John chapter 8. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are truly my disciples. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves of anybody. How can you say that we shall be set free?" And Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs forever. So, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hey, everybody ready?
Yes.
Ready to be set free?
Yes.
Amen. If the Son sets you free?
Yes.
Okay, you'll be free indeed. Okay. I confused you there. Have a seat. Thank you. Get ready for this. What are your issues? What are you dealing with? Where are you stuck? This is what we're about here. This isn't for your son or your daughter. It's not for the people that didn't come to the conference. This is for you. God has you here. Open up your hearts, as Deacon was saying last night. Open them up real wide. I hate going to a pet store. Let me tell you why. I love pets. Cats, dogs, birds, fish. Love them, especially cats. I've always loved cats. I love dogs too. But when you go into a pet store, if you've ever noticed, it is perhaps one of the saddest places you can ever go. Because here you see these little kitty cats, kittens, kitty cats, dogs, fish, birds, in cages. And you know, it's like they look at you with their eyes. And their eyes look so sad. Because cats were made to run. Dogs were made to run and to bark. Fish were made to swim. Birds were made to fly. And you know, you put them in a cage and it's pitiful. You put them in a prison and it's awful. Well, it's as bad as that is, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Born Free, you know, about the lioness that was meant to roam and to be free. And you know, they didn't want to just keep it, they wanted to let it go. Well, anyway, as bad as all that is, when animals get captive or held or being cages, and by the way, I just ventured next door to that room over there. Do you know that they're having a TV show tonight? It's about men in a cage. They're beating each other up. Walk over there and saw the cage. Take a look at that other room. That's going to be happening tonight. Well, anyway, as bad as it is for pets to be in a cage, it's worse for people.
Yeah.
You see, as a priest now, and I've been a priest for 23 years, I get people come to me to confession all the time and counseling, and I love that. And they talk about all kinds of different ways that they're in cages. For example, addictions to alcohol, and drugs, and sex, and food, and overeating, as I said, smoking, different things like bad habits like TV, too much TV, too much computer, too much smartphones, smoking, things like that. Feeling trapped in guilt and shame and condemnation, self-rejection, stuck in anger, resentment, non-forgiveness, all kinds of different emotions, and then being bound by fear, negativity, worry, and doubts. So I ran all those things by you, probably about 20 different areas and issues, because I want you to be thinking about what you're going through. Is it a relationship problem where maybe you feel a resentment? Are you struggling with an addiction and you just can't seem to break it? Is there some anger deep within and you just can't seem to get over it, or fear, or negativity? Perhaps you're stuck in grieving, whatever it is. Well, if the sun sets you free,
you will be free indeed.
And what Jesus was talking about in that scripture passage, of course, was sin, but we can extend it out a little bit to the issues that we go through that may not be, quote, sinful, but that can keep us stuck, such as I've just announced. And it's terrible to see people in prison because they think that they can't get out. But the truth is, and this is one of the major points of my sermon, the truth is that we have already been set free. We just need to walk in the freedom that we have. I hope you got that. We've already been set free, because that's what it says in Romans 6. Having been set free from sin, see, we're already told that we've been set free, then we need to walk in it. So that's what I'm hoping for you, that you will come to a new realization as you hear this talk about whatever area that you're dealing with. And yes, please look at those areas. May the Holy Spirit move in you to help you to admit those areas and to move through them to a new freedom. Because the work has been done. Price has been paid. You have been set free. It's just a matter now of walking in freedom. I have to tell you that I think freedom, as I reflected upon it, is inherent in all of us. It's in our DNA. It's in our genes. It's in our makeup. We were made to be free. Of course, you know, in the Bible it says in Genesis, I don't know exactly what, God created us with free will. So we have that. It's part of us. We were made to be free. We're not meant to be kept in cages. We're not meant to be imprisoned. That's one of the saddest things, that a person literally in prison, but you know, you can imprison yourself in all kinds of different things. So deep within us, there's this, you can call it a hunger if you want, this this desire, if you want, this craving to be free. We want to be totally free and live as a free person in every area of our life, the emotions, the habits, our words, our relationships. We want to live in freedom. And so I remember, you know, I grew up in Massachusetts, as you heard. Just north of us is the state of New Hampshire. They have an interesting license plate, if you've ever seen it. On the license plate, you know, they have that logo, live free or die. I think that's interesting. That, to me, is some of that passion, some of that desire about freedom. They even put it on the license plate. Then I was thinking about one of the patriots. You know, growing up in the Revolutionary War, you know, I grew up in Massachusetts and I heard all about that. And there was a man named Patrick Henry. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. Remember his great saying? He said, give me liberty or give me death. See, that's passion for freedom. And many of these men and women gave their lives for freedom because that it's inherent in us. That desire is deep within all of us. So get in touch while you're getting in touch with your issues. Also get in touch with your desire for freedom and the fact that we all want freedom. We live in a country, as you know, where it's a free country. We just celebrated back on July 4th, Independence Day. And you know, the fireworks go, we get together. Oftentimes people lose the sense of exactly what it is, but we're celebrating freedom. We're celebrating independence. And think about our country. You know, we are so blessed to live in the United States because we are a free country. We were founded on freedom. We're made to be free. I was thinking about the Declaration of Independence, for example, where it talks about the right to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Right? So liberty is something that we all, deep within us, we want to be free, we want liberty. And then, of course, the Bill of Rights, you know, the freedom to assembly, freedom of religion, freedom of speech. You know, so we're familiar with these things. So as we get these things, as we hear about these truths, this is part of what's making us wanting to be free. Because we grew up with this. We're used to this. We don't want to be oppressed by anything. So it's been within us all these years. And what about, you know, right at this moment, just south of us, I was thinking as I was praying in my hotel room here. I looked south, just south of us, you know, our border is under attack. I don't know if attack is the right word. All these immigrants are coming in, either legally or illegally, because why? They want freedom. And they are risking a harsh passage through Central America and through Mexico. Many of them don't make it. Some of them are coming into Florida and dying in boats because they want freedom. They're willing to pay the ultimate price because they're so hungry for it. See, I'm trying to paint the picture here of the beauty and the exquisiteness of what freedom is and why Jesus came to give us this, because we are made for freedom. And then, of course, you know, the immigrants are trying, and if you do come legally into Ellis Island, for example, you know, you come into Ellis Island, we're talking New York Harbor, if you've ever been there, you'll see that one of the greatest symbols of liberty was given to us by France. Of course, that's the Statue of Liberty. Yeah, Lady Liberty. Standing there, right at the precipice, right at the opening of our country. And I thought, you know, how beautiful that is. And then I thought about one other symbol of freedom. I'll keep moving here, we'll get into the issues, but I just want to set the table. I remember one time I went to Philadelphia, you know, one of the original 13 colonies there in Pennsylvania, and I went into the place where they have the Liberty Bell. Maybe you've seen that. You know, that's another symbol of our freedom. Well, I saw it, and you probably noticed this, but it has a big crack right down the middle of it. You ever thought about what that crack's all about? I think it's symbolic. And what I thought about was this, as I prayed about it, you know, it's too bad that the Liberty Bell has a crack in it. I mean, after all, it's a symbol of liberty. But yet it has a big crack in it. I was thinking about, you know, although we're free, there are so many abuses of our freedom. For example, you know, I don't mean to get political here or anything, and I'm not going to spend a long time on this, but what about prayer being taken out of the schools, Ten Commandments being taken out of public places, same-sex marriages, just north of us, marijuana has been legalized. What about the legalization of abortion in America? I mean, that's why the Liberty Bell has a crack in it. Yeah, we're free. We have liberty. But many of us abuse it. Let's talk about the scriptures here. You want to talk about the scriptures and liberty. It's all over the place. You know, I majored in scripture. I told you I had a conversion from the Bible. As I read the Bible, as I came to Matthew 7:7, knock and the door will be opened, seek and you will find, ask and you shall receive. That changed my life. I mean, I started knocking and asking and seeking, and whoo! And that's when I got touched by the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit. So, in the scriptures, I already told you about Genesis, free will. God has given us free will. Let's just turn the pages a few. I won't go to too many citations, but we all know the great metaphor for freedom in the Bible is Exodus. Remember what happened? The Hebrews were slaves in Egypt, being oppressed by Pharaoh. It was very difficult. But then God moved. There was a manifestation of the presence of God in many different ways to free them from the hard-hearted Pharaoh. And there was this liberation through the Red Sea. Now the Hebrews are free. But that wasn't complete freedom. They weren't in the Promised Land yet. It still took them 40 years journeying in the desert with a lot of sin and a lot of different murmurings and complainings and hard times before they even entered into the Promised Land. So the point I'm trying to make is, yes, in the Bible, it's all about freedom, but freedom isn't just this one instantaneous parting through the Red Sea and you're there. Rather, as I discern it in my life and in other people's lives, freedom is a process. And I hope that doesn't hurt anybody. Say, oh, I came here to be totally free, completely all the way free. Well, you know, you may receive a touch, and I'm hoping you will right now as I'm preaching, but I have to let you know, it is a process. It's a moment of the Red Sea parting, but it's also a moment, a journey, a pilgrimage of many years, depending on what you're dealing with. But then don't let that stop you, because you've got to be determined. Freedom is worth it. We have to be progressing and moving toward freedom. But I want to have you open to the manifestations, to the touches, and I'm hoping that's going to happen as I'm preaching. But also I want you open to that saying of Patrick Henry, you know, give me liberty or give me death. You know, that's the whole thing about the kingdom of God suffers violence. You ever understand that verse? You know, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence take it by force. You know what Jesus was talking about there? You got to be determined. There must be passion in your life. You have to keep pursuing your goals and going toward them. Otherwise, you know, the kingdom of God will always be out of your reach. And freedom is part of the kingdom of God. So in the Old Testament, of course, we have that great symbol. There was the exile from Babylon. That's another symbol of freedom. But let me get to the New Testament really quickly, and I'll keep moving because I've got a bunch of different things of issues I want to share with you. But what about Jesus? You know, he stands up in Nazareth. This is his, and they call it the inaugural sermon. He's at Nazareth in the Gospel of Luke. So he stands up. Now, this is going to be his job description. I did a whole paper on this in the seminary. This is Luke chapter 4. And when Jesus stands up and he's in his hometown, he's going to tell the world. Remember when Tiger Woods had his first news conference and he said, "Hello, world." Well, Jesus is saying that in Luke chapter 4. He's saying, "Hello, world." What does he say? He said, "I've come to set the captives free. And I've come to proclaim liberty, release to those who are imprisoned." And he wasn't just talking about bars, you know. He was talking about the stuff that I've already shared with you, the different issues that we all go through. So Jesus' inaugural job description was about freedom. And, you know, as a Catholic priest, I had that read at my ordination back on 1991, June 29th, 1991, Feast of Peter and Paul. And I had that read, the gospel proclaimed. I chose that because, yes, it was Jesus' inaugural sermon, and that was his job description. But what is a priest? A priest is a freedom fighter. You see, we are trying to set captives free. And whatever maladies and things that you're dealing with in the confessional, in counseling, in preaching, through good works, through TV, through writing, through all the different areas that God has opened up for us, we are trying to set captives free. Of course, not me, but God through us. That's what priesthood is. You see, what Jesus was proclaiming was what happens every 49 years. This was the Jubilee year. The Jubilee year would happen every 49 years. And remember what Jesus said? He said, "I've come to proclaim good news, a year of release to captives." So every 49 years, slaves were set free. And so in his Emancipation Proclamation, Jesus was proclaiming, whatever you are dealing with, whatever is holding you prison, whatever is keeping you stuck, can be opened up for you because of me. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So this is why Jesus came. You know, he came for many different reasons, of course, for healing and different things like that, but primarily to bring us freedom, to bring us freedom. And you must understand that freedom is something that Jesus died for. And let me put it to you this way. Freedom is not free. Some people got that. I know this isn't really a shouting sermon. This is something you really need to think about. But freedom is not free. Let me explain that. I went to the Vietnam Memorial. Now I think you know what I mean. The Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C. You know what that is? It's a wall. And it has tens of thousands of names. Just names written in black granite, I believe it is. And some people go there with rice paper and a crayon, and they put the rice paper on it and the crayon, and it puts the name on the rice paper. And people grieve there just by touching the name, put flowers there. Of course, I'm talking about the people that died in the Vietnam War, men and women, brave men and women who paid the ultimate price for our freedom. And then, of course, you go to Arlington National Cemetery. What do you see? All these crosses everywhere. Thousands of them, all these different places. Men and women who gave their lives in the war, who paid the ultimate price. You see, freedom isn't free. Any of you who are familiar with the Wounded Warrior Project, there are many men and women who have been wounded in Afghanistan and Iraq and other places who no longer have legs because of these explosive devices, who have gone through a horrible thing. Sometimes I think it's better to die than what they have to deal with now. And it's for our freedom. That's why whenever people on an airplane, when they announce that, you know, there's military people, you hear everybody clapping. That's because, you know, we appreciate the sacrifice. I forget who it was that said that. There was a prophecy, I think, yesterday, that true freedom involves sacrifice. And that is so true. So freedom isn't free. There's a cost to freedom. And of course, just last week, if you were tuned into the news, there was a man, I'm trying to think of his first name, his last name was Pitts, I think it was John Pitts or something. He was a sergeant in the Army. And about 6 years ago, he was engaged in a firefight, and many of the men that were with him died, and he was receiving the Medal of Honor. Barack Obama, President Obama was standing right next to him, reading what he did in that war, and how bravely he stood there, protected the men that were getting hurt and killed, how he, with such valor, stood his ground until help arrived. And you should have seen Sergeant Pitts. Maybe you did see it on the news. He didn't blink an eye. He stood there, staring straight ahead, no smile, no thank you, none of that. When they clapped for him, he just stayed straight ahead. I thought to myself, look at his bravery. Look at this valor. Look at this courage. This man should be dead. Not many people receive the Medal of Honor when they're alive, because most of them are dead. And I thought to myself, that's what freedom is. That's the price of freedom. It's bravery, it's sacrifice, it's courage, it's valor. Now, do you understand why I profess a vow to the Passion? See, freedom isn't free. It cost Jesus everything. He gave everything on that cross. And he could have ran, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane. That was his decision moment. That's when the free will was in effect. That's when Adam and Eve's decision was reversed. That's when the no was changed to a yes. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus knelt and said, Father, not my will, your will be done, as he's sweating blood. And so I'm trying to paint the picture here and get you to see how valuable your freedom is and why you should embrace it. And that you don't have to live in slavery, because the price has been paid. He paid a debt that he did not owe, and we owe a debt that we cannot pay. You've all heard that. And it was Jesus on the cross. And that's why my first vow is to meditate on that and proclaim his love for us and the wonderful sacrifice and God's love for us. I do that all the time, because I didn't just experience a conversion when I read the Bible. I was forgiven. I was saved. I was touched by the Holy Spirit, and I know why it was the cross of Jesus. So it's a valuable price. It's a tremendous price. And he paid the ultimate price. So freedom isn't free. There's a cost to it. In the dictionary, there's some definitions for freedom really quickly. Now I'm getting to some deeper stuff here, but let me just share just a couple other things. It says that it's the state of not being imprisoned. We all know that. Freedom is the state of not being imprisoned. Okay. And it also says it's the power to get or to speak or act without restraint or oppression. Let me try to explain that. Being free is, you really don't care what other people think in a good way. That's what freedom is in many ways. You know, because oftentimes we're just thinking, you know, I wonder what people are thinking about me, and it can kind of bind you up and give you fears and anxiety. And as I thought about this, about freedom, a picture came to my mind, an image came to my mind, that's how I think. And it's an image you're all familiar with. It's from the Old Testament. Remember King David? Here comes the Ark into Jerusalem. And now, you know, the big Ark is the symbol of God is coming into Jerusalem. So David, King David, who loves God, wrote all the song, many of the songs, not all the songs. And, you know, he loves God. What does he start doing? You all know this. He starts dancing. And he starts dancing with, as the Bible says, reckless abandon. Even so that his wife, I think it's Michael, started saying, you know, you made a fool out of yourself. You had the shirt ephod on, and you know, you hear your wife dancing. He didn't care what his wife thought, anybody, but he loved God so much, he was free. And you know what? That's what I really like about the charismatic renewal, don't you?
Yes.
Freedom.
Yes.
And, freedom of worship. I sat there last night, I was in the back, and you know, people singing in tongues, people prophesying, people dancing, moving, raising their hands, people crying, people laughing. You know, you don't see that at normal Sunday mass. See, there's freedom in the house. And I want to challenge you to be free in your worship. Maybe some of you aren't too sure about this charismatic thing, and you know, next to the tongues, and what are you really saying, and all that kind of thing. Well, that's fine. You know, everybody goes through that. But I really want to challenge you to be open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit of freedom. And one of the ways that you can be free, and I can say that because I didn't used to, and I'm not totally free. You know, we're all on a process, remember? We're all on a pilgrimage here. But I'm way beyond where I used to be, to the point where I like to dance. I don't like to be watched dancing, but I like to dance. And when it comes to worship, I really try to focus on God, not on what everybody else is doing, but who cares if you're raising your hands, or who cares who sees that? And who cares, you know, if they hear you singing in tongues, or the prophet? It takes a lot of courage to be a prophet and to step forward with a prophecy. So I want to see, and I'm hoping this, I'm praying that this conference will be broken wide open by the grace of God, that the gifts that are in us will come forward. Then what about our language? Freedom of speech. One thing I really like about charismatic renewal is that you have to be careful with other places and other people. It's how you talk. And I don't mean swears. I'm talking about what Deacon was talking about last night. A personal relationship with Jesus. That's probably the bread and butter of my ministry. What I mean is, I preach missions in the Catholic Church. So I go where sometimes angels fear to tread. And I preach about a personal relationship with Jesus. That's what I preach on TV. That's one of the reasons why TBN likes me, because TBN is not a Catholic station. They're a Protestant station, and they're very familiar with that lingo. And I'm not saying they're totally Protestant, they're Catholic too, because they put Fulton Sheen on there. Fulton Sheen airs everything. Father Mike Manning's on there. I'm the third in the two priests in Fulton Sheen. So what I'm trying to say is that a personal relationship with Jesus, being saved, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, Blessed Assurance, I don't know if you like that song, I love that song. So what I'm trying to say is that when I first came into the seminary, I was so afraid to say those things in front of my professors, Because I was afraid I'd be labeled a fundamentalist or a Protestant or something, and they'd kick me out. But now I'm free. I mean, I'm on TV. Listen, I hope you get to watch some of my TV programs, not just because of me, but because of what I'm proclaiming. I'm proclaiming salvation. I can't tell you, well, it's not lots and lots of people, but people write me who are fallen away Catholics and said, Father Cedric, if I had heard this in the Catholic Church, I wouldn't have gone to the Pentecostal Church. I wouldn't have gone to the non-denominational church. Where have you been? Well, it's not me. It's the message. It's the Catholic Church's message that just needs to be proclaimed. So there's freedom. There's freedom of worship. There's freedom of speech. And so be a light set on a hill. Be the salt of the earth. If salt loses its saltiness, with what will it be flavored? You see what Jesus is telling us? He said, don't be a watered-down version of my disciple. Be who you are. Exercise the gifts that I have given you. I remember I went one time to the University of Steubenville. You all know where that is, of course. That's a Franciscan university, very charismatic. And I went there as a seminarian. And back when I went, that was probably in the late 1980s, because I was ordained in 91. Back when I went, they had the priests, deacons, and seminarians conference. It was in June. And you get about 1,000 people there. You know, imagine 1,000 priests and deacons and seminarians. Imagine the power. There was a great anointing. But one of the things that I really loved was they used to, I don't think they have it anymore, but they had a tent out in the back. A tent. And in the tent, when you're in the tent, there's something about being in a tent. I remember I could look to the sides and there's no walls. Remember what I said? We need a church with no walls. I mean, walls are okay. I've been to the Vatican and St. Peter's. The walls are beautiful and everything. I'm not preaching against churches. What I'm saying is we need a church with no walls, though. One that people can go and come freely. And so in this tent, I noticed that a breeze went through the tent. And there was fresh air and a manifestation of grace. It's just something about being in a tent and worshiping. And then let me tell you about what happened when at one of the masses that really touched me deeply. We were at mass worshiping, it was right before mass. There was about 30 seminarians, the rest were all deacons and priests. And we were just sitting there in some of the pews. And the priests were about to come in, and the deacons, and they had an opening song. And the opening song was, and I will never forget this, "Rise up, O men of God." And so here come all the priests, and they're all dressed in red, you know, Pentecost colors and everything, and we're all praying for the Holy Spirit. We're in a tent, the fresh air is blowing. You know, I don't want to romanticize this, but I really tried to focus. And you didn't even have to. You know how every once in a while there's a moment of grace in a conference, in a meeting, and it's unmistakable, and everybody knows it? Well, this is what was happening. I mean, I had goosebumps on my goosebumps. So the glory of the Lord was falling. And it was so powerful. And the words of the song are, "Rise up, O men of God. Have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings." And I mean, it was so powerful as they were all coming in. I had goosebumps. I was weeping. And at that time, I was struggling in my vocation. I wasn't sure if God was calling me or not. When I saw that and I felt all that, I went back strong. And I'm praying that at the conference today and tomorrow and yesterday, that you will sense the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in new ways to give you freedom of expression, of speech, of religion, you know, the Bill of Rights, but more than that, you know, in a free way. That's what I love about the renewal, and I bet you that's what you love about the renewal, is the freedom that we have that most churches don't. And I don't know about you, but I get in trouble for saying this, and I probably wouldn't have said this with the bishop here last night, but I hate dull, dead, dry religion. We learned in liturgy class, I'm going to go too long here, but we learned in liturgy class that bad liturgy destroys faith. Good liturgy brings faith. I've been to enough bad liturgies that I've walked out angry because it was horrible. And I pity the teenagers that are there that are struggling in their faith. So don't report me to the bishop, because I think, you know, I agree with what I'm saying. so upset because, you know, you deserve so much more. And they deserve so much. I hope you don't think I'm arrogant. No, really. I'm not the best preacher. I'm not the best presider. But I'm trying. You know, I'm living with passion. That's the name of my TV program. I'm at least trying to realize my potential. You know, that's part of freedom, too. So let me keep moving. But anyway. So freedom is not free. We have freedom in this area of our faith, of religion, of the way that we worship. And I wanted to share with you really quickly Paul's letter to the Galatians. Have you ever heard of that? Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia? Of course you have. It's the Magna Carta, the document of liberty. And of course what Paul was trying to do is he was trying to establish that Christianity is different from the Jewish law. That we're not justified or put right with God through following a bunch of rules and regulations in the Jewish law. Actually, now it's through faith in Jesus Christ that we come to justification. It's by his cross, he said, if the cross, he said, doesn't justify us, then Christ died for no purpose. So he even called the Galatians, he said, you stupid Galatians. He said, you know, you began with faith, now what are you doing? So I want to say to you is no, I better not. Can I say Albuquerqueans? Is that what? So, Paul's letter to the Galatians is really, really important. See, Paul was a dreamer, and he had a vision. It's interesting, I've been to Rome, and I studied in Rome. Have you ever been there, some of you, to Rome? Have you done pilgrimages to the churches? One of the four major basilica is called St. Paul Outside the Walls. Now, hold on a second, what have I been talking about? No walls. It's interesting that I think it's ironic that Paul is buried in a place that's where they say he was beheaded. They put the church, and they call it the church of St. Paul Outside the Walls. I was thinking about that. I think that'll preach. Because that's the way Paul was. He was a dreamer, a visionary. Kind of like Martin Luther King. Remember the speech he gave on the right in front of the Lincoln Memorial? The I Have a Dream speech? I was studying that for this talk. And he talked about, let freedom ring from the hills of New Hampshire to the mole hills of Mississippi to the, I'll put this in, the mountains of New Mexico. Let freedom ring. And so what he was envisioning, because of discrimination and because of segregation, he was envisioning emancipation and freedom. And so that wonderful speech that he gave, read it sometime, I Googled it and I was reading it and I said, wow, and what a vision. So freedom is so important. Now let me get into some of the issues and then we'll bring this to a conclusion, but because I really want you to experience freedom, I want you to experience freedom from whatever issues you have. And as I said, Jesus gave the ultimate price, the ultimate sacrifice. Let me share this with you. There is a fish called barracuda. You've heard of that. And it's Spanish mackerel. I hope you haven't heard this story, but I really like it. The barracuda is the arch enemy of the Spanish mackerel. He eats the Spanish mackerel. What they did is, psychologists did an experiment. They put the barracuda and the Spanish mackerel in a tank. And, you know, they were both swimming together, but before they put it in, what they did is they put a clear plexiglass barrier right in between the two of them. So as soon as the barracuda saw the Spanish mackerel, he went for it, boom! He hurt his nose, you know, that really hurt. So then he swam a little bit and he saw it again, and boom! And he hit his nose again. You know, he kept trying. And eventually, as you might imagine, psychologists love this type of thing, he gave up. Because, you know, how often are you going to keep doing it? You know what they did? They removed the clear plexiglass plate. And do you know that that barracuda didn't try to get that Spanish mackerel? Even though he was free, hello? Even though he was free to do it, he didn't do it because of past experiences. See, what I've been talking about, you've already been set free. But oftentimes what happens is, because of past experiences and inner wounds, we stay where we are because we're afraid of getting hurt, we're afraid of moving forward, and we stay stuck. I love what Pope Francis said about the church. He said it's a field hospital. He said that in the Joy to the Gospel. It's a field hospital. See, we're not perfect. We haven't arrived. We need a doctor to bring us healing, to get us out of the slavery. We've been set free, but now we need help to move forward. Okay, let's get into some of these issues now. I wanted to tell you about one time. I don't want to lose track of time. When did I start? Okay, I got a little bit more. 10, 15 more minutes. I hate it when things go too long and you're sitting there going, when is this guy going to show up? So I wanted to tell you, we have a place in Sacramento, a retreat center in Sacramento. Sacramento is the capital of California. Well, it was January, I think it is 25th, the anniversary of the legalization of Roe v. Wade. Is it 25th? What's it? What is it?
22nd.
Pardon me. We should all know that day. So anyway, I went to a pro-life rally at the Capitol steps, Sacramento Capitol steps. First time I ever went. I had just been ordained a couple years, and I went. I wanted to see what it was like. So you got a couple hundred people there, just off the steps. They built a little platform. You know, people are holding babies and roses. You know, peaceful demonstration right outside the Capitol. So these three speakers got up. They were all women. And I said, I wonder what they're going to have to say. They're probably going to, you know, root the cause on and that kind of a thing. Well, much to my surprise, they were all women who had had abortions. And I thought to myself, here they are. This is probably the wrong crowd to talk about your abortion. You know, these are people that are fighting for pro-life. But the first one said, you know, she had had an abortion. And then the second one got up there and said she had, and the third one said that she had had two or three abortions. I think multiple abortions. But here's what I wanted to share. Every one of them said they come to Jesus, receive forgiveness. And I remember the last one. Remember I talked about dancing? She started dancing. She goes, Jesus set me free. And I have been to a lot of religious services. Remember I told you dull, dead, dry, warm, a lot of those things? That I died because I was so upset. I was weeping, not because I was upset, because I was touched. Because I was looking at somebody who had been released, who had been set free. Three women who could publicly announce their mortal sin and what they had done and how Jesus had changed them. Oh, that's so wonderful to see. The freedom. And so, you know, if Jesus can do that from a woman that had an abortion, what can he do in you? Maybe somebody here has had an abortion. Well, I'll tell you, what you need to do is quit beating yourself up. The past is past. You've made a mistake, more than a mistake. It's a mortal sin. But you know what? Now it's time to move on. And that's one of the areas that I hear people, oh, Father, I know God forgives me, but I can't forgive myself. Well, yes, you can, because you've been forgiven at the cross. And the guilt and the shame has been taken. You know, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are labored and are heavy burdens of sin, burdens of religion. That's what he was talking about, the religion of the Jewish law. Matthew is a very Jewish gospel. And he said, come to me, and you will be free, and I'll give you rest. And one of the things I like to do, we have the Stations of the Cross at our retreat center. First Station of the Cross, Jesus standing before Pilate, condemned. You ever read Romans 8:1? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, see, that's what a lot of people don't get. They don't get the fact that Jesus came to free them, forgive them, but so they can forgive themselves. Really quickly, get this letter. You know, I preach parish missions. Letter from a woman, pardon me, at least help me see far, not close. But this woman says, she said she went to my mission. She said, this is a similar story. I've been dealing with abortion for many, the guilt of abortion many, many years. Constant noose around my neck. That's the way she described being slaves. Constant noose that wouldn't go away. I couldn't forgive myself. She said, during the mission, something happened. She said, I had those same thoughts about my sin, guilt, inability to forgive myself. I felt a hand on my shoulder. And she put this in capital letters. I heard a voice that said, enough already. I forgave you long ago, and it's time to forgive yourself. And it was such an intense experience for me, I've never been the same. Now, here's what I want to say right now. Thus saith the Lord. Enough already. enough guilt, enough shame, enough of the anger, enough of the self-rejection, enough of the bitterness and the non-forgiveness, enough of the negativity, enough of the depression, enough of the despair. Don't you feel his hand on your shoulder right now? He's here. We talked about that last night. He's a risen Lord. And he's here for you. This isn't for your children. It's not for your parents. It's not for your neighbors. It's for you. He called you here. If there is an area where you're stuck, he's calling you forward. Now, the price has been paid. The plexiglass has been removed. The veil has been torn. There's freedom in the house. But you have to be like Patrick Henry. Give me liberty. You got to be determined, passionate about this, to be able to walk in it. There is no cheap grace here. There's grace, but it's not cheap. It's expensive. It cost Jesus everything. One of the things I want to share with you, try to be vulnerable, is about fear. Because this is something that has afflicted me for many years. It almost stopped me in my tracks. And I think, to be honest, one of the reasons why God has let me be on TV isn't because I'm the best. It's because I'm pretty courageous. And let me show you why. Let me share why to you. When I was in ninth grade, growing up, I went into English class. I'm good at English. I grew up in the United States, grew up in Massachusetts. I like English, I can read well. We're going down, up and down the aisles reading, and it came to me. Here I go, I just start reading, and as I'm reading, I started thinking about everybody around me. I lost my focus and I lost concentration. It's kind of like Peter out on the ocean, you know, Sea of Galilee, and like the thunderbolt hits and he goes, what the, whoa, and he starts sinking. Well, as I'm reading, my heart starts beating real fast. And I suddenly became aware that I had no breath, and I'm like, and I had a panic attack. Everybody looked at me. I couldn't talk. I sounded like Donald Duck or something. And my best friend was sitting behind me. He just started reading. Well, you know, I got out of there and everything. That was fine. But let me tell you what happens the next time that you have to read the same thing. It was the beginning of a stronghold, of a bondage, of being stuck somewhere in fear, terrible fear. I was so afraid of reading in public. Now, I had the ability to do it. I had the gift. You know, I know the language. In fact, people tell me, Cedric, you have a great voice. You know, I had all that, but now all of a sudden I can't do it. All those thoughts start coming into my mind. I can't do this. The negativity, the fear. Well, so now, I don't even know how I made it into college, but I had to survive high school, and it was terrifying. I get into college, I told you I was reading the Bible to myself, you know, just reading one day, I have this touch of God, baptizing, but I sense, months later, God is calling me to become a Catholic priest, and to preach, and to one day get on TV. I knew that even back then. And I remember I went to my bedroom, thank you, God. Thank you for the touch of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for loving me before the world began. Thank you for calling me to be a priest. We just have one small problem. I am scared stiff. How in the world are we ever going to do this? I'm not talking about fear. I'm talking about terror, paralysis. I can't do this. Absolutely no way. You know, Jeremiah said, oh, I'm too young. Moses stuttered and all that. Not that. I could go like that. They're all going to think I'm a fool and stupid. I can't do it. You know what God told me? You know, just the whisper, like Deacon said, if you hear voices, you're in trouble. It's called impressions. God speaks through the inner movements of your heart in peace in different ways, through the scriptures, of course, conscience. And what I heard was Cedric, you know, what prophets have heard, what Moses heard, what Joshua heard, I am with you. You can do it. I will never fail or forsake you. So whatever your issue is, that's what God is saying to you this morning. I'm with you. You can do it. Quit listening to the negativity and the fears. Because I found out something about fear. Fear wants to hold you into a little teeny box. Remember what I told you about walls? That's what fear does. It encases you. You know, that's Satan's plan for everybody. Satan's an abortionist. He tries to abort the plan of God. He wants to abort your marriages. He wants to abort your dreams and visions. That's what he wanted to do for me. He wanted to be right there. Don't go any further than that. I'll leave you alone if you just stay in that box. And it's like, no. And you step up and you face it. You know how I got to the point where I am right now? By facing my fears. Remember what I told you about freedom? Jesus will touch you. He touched me with a call. But that was, I wish he went, psst, and then no more fear. No more fear. But no, what he does is, some people get delivered, not me. I was touched, but then it was like, now set of courage. Face your fears. You know the people I've had to speak in front of, and bishops. And I remember I gave a mission one time in Massachusetts. The Kennedys were there. I'm like, they're like our royalty. We grew up with them. My parents, you know, all the time when my parents are there, I'm always so nervous because my mom and dad, you know, of course they love me, but you want to impress them and everything. So there's always somebody, and it's always something. And I've had to face that. I haven't always done the best, but you know what? I'd rather do it shaking and with no spit than to stay in that little box back there. Out of the box, a church with no walls. You are called. You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Okay, here we're going to wind down here. Let's have to figure out where I am. All right, let me tell you this quick little story. It's about I was by my window, by the sink. And as I'm looking out the window, I noticed there was a little spider on the window. And you know, he had built a little web there. You know how they do that, right in the corner of the window. And you know, I don't like spiders any more than you do. I like cats and dogs and birds and fish, but I don't like spiders. So I went to get a napkin, and I said, I'm going to kill that little guy. And just when I'm about to do it, I go, he's not hurting anybody. It's just a little spider. You know, the poor little guy. You know. So, you know, they don't let me have a pet. You know? So I fooled them. I adopted a spider. I even named him. I named him Spy the Spider. So, you know, there will be times like I'll have breakfast in the morning and I'll put little crumbs, I'll just put them into the web, and I'll take a little water and splash it in there. And I've seen him go over and drink, and it's kind of nice. He's getting to know me, I'm getting to know him. You know, it's crazy. So, get this. Have you ever walked into a web and it gets in your ear? It's like, it's so real sticky and everything. Have you ever tried to think, well, how does a spider walk through the web? How does he glide through the web so easily without getting stuck? A spider secretes a special oil that enables it to glide through the web without getting stuck. Hello? Have you ever heard about the oil, the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Not stay stuck in anger, in negativity, in addictions. I'll quote Pope Francis really quickly again. He said, the greatest freedom, this is right from the Joy of the Gospel, the greatest freedom is the freedom of being led, this is our Pope, the freedom of being led and guided by the Holy Spirit. So cordial. Okay, so let me wind this all down. So you've got the Holy Spirit. You are anointed. And you're anointed, of course, to preach the good news, proclaim the gospel, be the salt of the earth, light of the world. But you're anointed to move out of bondage, to move out of slavery. As I conclude, let me share this. You know, I did a lot of research for this, as you see. I read a lot of history. And I thought about a lot of things. Do you know that when the Emancipation Proclamation, that's what I'm calling this, the Emancipation Proclamation by President Lincoln. Do you know that when he announced that and the slaves were set free legally, this is back in the 1800s, do you know that some of the slaves stayed slaves?
Yes.
You probably heard that.
Yes.
Although they were freed, you know, you get the point. Although they were freed, they stayed slaves because they didn't know where to go, didn't have an education. education, you know, it wasn't the right conditions and everything, they found it easier just to stay slaves. And so what I've been proclaiming is that you have been free. The veil has been torn, the glass is removed, you are free, the price has been paid. So now there must be a determination to walk forward and to keep walking. There's a grace moment. Jesus has anointed you. His hand is on your shoulder. He does say to you, enough already. So there's the grace. There's the parting of the Red Sea. It's for everybody. Y'all heard it. There's the manifestation today. But you've got to cooperate with God. Freedom is a process, as I said. And I said, I hope you don't get scandalized by that. But that's the absolute truth. Let's be real here today. But I'm praying that this conference, you know, conference, to confer something on somebody, that you'll be conferred with a new power, a new strength to face your fears, to be honest about your addictions, about your bad habits, and then the courage to move forward and go places that you've never been. There's no more walls. There's no more walls. The walls have been removed. And you are free. Because if the Son sets you free,
you are free indeed.
Please stand and I'm going to pray for you. Holy Spirit, move through this community in a beautiful way, just like the wind of Pentecost, that wind that we talked about at the University of Steubenville. Please concentrate now. Focus. This is for you. I pray there will be a new manifestation of your anointing to free the captives. I pray each person will admit the one or two or maybe a bunch of areas where they're stuck or in slavery. We all have this stuff. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will help us to face it and to move forward, whether it be fear, anger, addictions, depression, whatever it is. And I pray that we will gain, as we do, from this conference of greater freedom than we've ever had, and that we will be free indeed. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So I think Deacon has a couple of announcements. Remember my books over there, the free booklet, The Word Among Us? Got plenty. I hope you check out my books too.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.